It's a Less Than Average Below Par radio show with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Stupid management. The people are real. The cases are real. This is
Tom and Ollie.
I just called to say.
Yeah, my partner likes to find it funny to wipe her boogers on me.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
That's not okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, welcome to your wacky Wednesday, guys.
Yes, love a Wednesday, Tom.
No hump day here.
No, no humps. Just things get a bit weird and wacky. And to start the wackiness,
yeah,
I've got a tattoo.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
I will.
You,
I'm going to.
You don't have a tattoo.
I have a tattoo. As of today.
What do you mean?
Oh, mate, it's huge news. I know.
Hang on.
I will reveal all in about half an hour's time.
What?
Yeah, I know. You're blown away, aren't you?
You're not telling me about this.
No, I know.
Hey,
secret.
Okay, well, apart from your tattoo, tonight is a night to think deeply. In half an hour's time, we have Christy Miller from the Centre for Time coming in to talk about block theory, which is like this time
block theory. Block theory sounds dumb. It sounds like Lego.
It's not, though, and she will be able to answer your time-travelling questions.
Oh, not to mention Deep Thought of the Week, Tom.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen at 8:30 for sure. We'll jump in that pondering pond.
But last night, Tom, you made a claim on this show, wild claim about hens parties. I don't know if you recall what you said.
Yeah, okay.
But what you said was both just full on and all encompassing, and I want to put it to the test.
All right, we'll hear about that next. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. This is Queen, turn it up. All right, you can turn it back down now. It's another one, Bites of Dust. Queen, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions if you want to get involved across the socials. If you can't call up, hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Tom and Ollie with a Y.
It's hard to know what's more popular, Tom, the songs or us talking, but I don't know. It's up for debate, isn't it? Tom, yesterday on the show, you made an outlandish claim talking about hens parties. There's a bit of a stereotype about hens parties, isn't there? There's an idea that you get a lot of pink balloons going and girls chuck on some music.
Oh, like pink? Yes!
Yes!
Penis straw! Penis straw!
Penis straws, bride-to-be signs.
But I don't reckon, I don't think which chick's liking this.
Well, last night you made a fairly gargantuan claim, and here it is right now, actually.
I still think that all women hate hens parties, and they just all have to go along and go, yes, cupcakes, but really they just want beers and chips.
Sounds like you're blowing something wide open here, Tom. And I don't want to steal a Hamish and Andy reference, but this could be a theory that maybe does hold true.
Well, I was speaking to my sister. My sister goes, I hate hens parties. I wish I could go to the Bucks party because I don't want to bloody pin the penis on the punk, you know? I don't want to drink out of a penis straw.
Is that what
straw.
They call it? On the punk? Or you just made that up?
I just made that up.
Right.
But
pin the penis on the donkey.
Pin the penis on the ass.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. I don't
what
think
you'd be doing. I don't think that's what the hens are doing. They'd be doing it elsewhere. But I think you could be onto something here because my girlfriend also is not a huge fan of hens parties. She's adamant on not having one.
Mm.
She wants to have a lunch with some friends. Mm. So maybe you're right. And so I thought we could pose the question tonight on 1-3-3-5-3. Do all women actually hate hens parties?
Definitely. 100%.
You reckon?
Especially all the women listening to Triple M.
You reckon?
Yes. They'd rather have a little Bundy and Coke.
Wow.
And get into the rippers.
A couple of party pies.
Hando.
Poor
they don't want strawberries in their champers. They want a little sausage roll.
Do you reckon they hate the penis straws?
Look, that's pretty fun. The penis straw has to be a bit of fun,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, okay. So there's a bit of toing and froing here. Yeah. But let's test out your theory. On 1-3-3-5-3, do all women actually hate hens parties? Do they hate pink? Just raise your glass.
If you're a woman that hates a hens party, 1-3-3-5-3, give us a call. This is new music from Dean Lewis. It's called Be Alright with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. It's Be Alright, Dean Lewis, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. That's new music. Hey, if you like it, you hate it, head to triplem.com.au and become a club member so you can have a say on the music that we play.
Tom, last night on the show, you very boldly made this claim here, and it was outrageous.
I still think that all women hate hens parties, and they just all have to go along and go, yes, cupcakes, but really they just want beers and chips.
And if anyone knows women, Tom, it's you. Oh. I mean, you've had such a great success with girls in the past.
Mate,
so many girlfriends.
I know what women want.
So many girlfriends. I think I think half of all your girlfriends have since turned, if I'm correct.
Don't you dare.
I don't know if our producer Tom knows that, but that's news to him.
No.
So I think it's fair that you would make a claim like this. And we'll test it out. 1-3-3-5-3. Do all women actually hate hens parties.
What do you reckon about this, Ali?
I reckon that all girls just want to go and have fun.
Yeah.
Just want to get legless and have fun.
Is this Cindy Lauper?
And not worry about what's going on.
Okay. So you're saying it's not particularly you don't want to have just the girls around?
No, of course not. You want to let your hair down and just party. Like there's no tomorrow. Just have an absolute ball.
Can't girls let their hair down and have fun just with the girls, though?
Yes, yes. Look at whoever you want to look at. Like, just dance and have fun.
So, do all women hate hens parties?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Because they are so...
See, you can tell that I pulled Ellie down there.
Goodbye to the fake Cindy Lauper and up for the real one. Tom on Twitter, Danelle has said, at Tom and Ellie, I hate hens parties with strippers and penis straws. Penis plugs for the bath. Had three boys, ... penis overload. I don't know if she means she had her own boys or at the party there was three boys, but penis overload.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I still think that all women hate hens parties.
Well, we've actually got your sister on the phone, Tom. Ah. And Asha could be the answer to this this debate here. Asha, do you hate hens parties?
Yeah, I hate hens parties.
We were having this discussion the other day, weren't we, Ash?
We were.
It sucks.
They're boring.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real shame because I think guys relish a bucks party.
Yeah, they do. They love it.
Bro time.
What would you rather do, Ash?
I think something adventurous. I don't know.
Kinky.
No. Sure. It just seems to be the same sort of thing. We meet somewhere, have a few drinks, make something, and then half the people that don't want to stay for the rest of the night go home, and then the rest of us get drunk and party on.
What, like, have you done arts and crafts and stuff at a hens party, Ash?
Yeah, and dance classes. Look, I'll be honest, I did I did prep with my sisters, and we did do hula hooping.
Oh.
So I suppose I'm kind of.
Well, you're creating the cliche of
boring
hens parties. Well, Ash, you said the other day that you just wanted to have beer and chips, and that's all you wanted to do.
So classy.
Good on you, Asha. It's good.
Thanks for getting involved, Ash, and sorry for calling you at the last minute. Shannon, what do you reckon? Do all women hate hens parties?
Yeah, it cost a fortune, not just for the hen, but for the girls that want to go. You've got to get your hair done, waxing, fake tan. Yeah, and I'd rather be watching the footy, eating a pie any day of the week.
Chuck some dead horse on it as well. Oh, yeah.
So, Shannon, does that extend to just hanging out with the girls full stop?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yep.
It's just too much fun.
Slow fade.
Oh, so much fun. Hey, up next, we're going to hear about Ollie's brand new tattoo. What? He hasn't told me about this. I'm shocked. I'm outraged. But I haven't heard anything about it. But a brand new tattoo.
So painful.
I'm skeptical. We'll find out next. It's Queens of the Stone Age. No One Knows. Tom and Ollie, Triple M. Quatsar with No One Knows. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions, but on yesterday's show, I said this. I still think that all women hate hens parties and they just all have to go along and go, yes, cupcakes, but really they just want beers and chips.
And Tom, look, our show, Triple M Night Show, isn't known for investigative journalism.
No.
We're not known for breaking news, but this could be a scoop because so far, 100% of ladies hate hens parties.
Yeah, that's what we've had on the phones.
Including on Twitter as well. Another one, Kobe tweeted us at Tom and Ollie. She said, I hate hens parties. I had a surprise one for my wedding because everyone knew I hated it. And every second of it was horror. It was hell. The dick straws are no good. They're hard to drink from and they're not very nice.
Well, Lydia, you're the only person that's given us a call on 13353 that actually loves hens parties. Can you believe that?
I'm shocked. I can't believe when you said hens parties, first I thought you meant baby showers.
Baby showers
people
suck.
People having
for sure.
Crappy games without the assistance of alcohol, and some of the games at baby showers are horrendous.
Baby showers are probably the second worst thing. I think hens parties are. Everyone's hating it, Lydia.
I don't know. Maybe they're not doing it right. I've been to some great hens parties.
Okay, what's the best hens party you've been to? Maybe the best activity?
We did a really awesome cocktail making class, so we were drinking and making alcohol at the same time.
Yeah.
That was good.
Well, if you're wasted, everything's fun. If you're really drunk, everything's pretty fun. I think that's the theory.
Well, we started off with that. That was just a warm-up session, really. But the only bad thing about hens parties is, like, dragging yourself out of the hotel room the next morning because checkout's at 10.
Yeah, that's annoying. Hang on. You're getting hotel rooms for hens parties?
Yeah, we do it properly. I don't know where these women are talking about.
Oh,
you know.
Shit. I want to go to your type of hands party, lady, with a hotel room.
That's why yours are good.
Yeah, exactly right. Up next, though, Ollie.
Yeah, look, I did just mention my tattoo. I have got a tattoo. It's pretty full on, pretty exciting as
well. No, you don't have a tattoo, though.
I do. I'll explain up next. There's a reason why I've got it. It's actually a very important reason.
All right, you're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Stick around. It's Selling the Drama Live, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. But if you have questions about time travel, Christy Miller from the Center for Time, which explores philosophies of time, physics, and metaphysics, will be on the show in about 10 minutes. It's going to be mind-blowing stuff, and I cannot wait for it.
Yeah, but before that, Tom, I just want to say quickly, I've got a tattoo. I have got a tattoo today, actually. Pretty huge.
But I'm surprised about this because you haven't mentioned it at all. You've never even mentioned that you want a tattoo.
No, I know. It struck me as the right time to do it. I'll just show you it. It's on my chest.
It's on your chest.
I'm going to show it to you and you can read it out, but see what it says.
But I feel like...
What does that say?
You've...
What does it say?
You've pulled up your shirt.
Yeah.
And it says Bloody Legend.
Yeah. What colour?
In red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, it's a fake tattoo, obviously. It's not a real tattoo. But do you know why I've got this? Bloody Legend in red writing.
Ollie, why do you have Bloody Legend written on your chest?
Because, Tom, it's National Donor Week. So for the legends out there giving blood, like myself, this is our week. It's our week to celebrate, to go, you know what? That's
don't
the
hit
blood.
The tattoo like you've got it.
Bro, that's like such is life for me right there. Yeah. Because, yeah, I give blood. And I'll put my shirt down now because
it's know what?
Getting showy.
I wish I could get one of those tattoos.
Oh, you can. I've got heaps.
Oh, great.
They're fake. I mean, but what you're saying is you can't give blood.
I can't give blood. No.
Why not?
Because I'm a homosexual.
That's a weak excuse.
Okay.
Yeah. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Two best mates.
I'm sick of you.
Oh, yeah?
And 3 hours of questions. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Hey, Ollie, after the show tonight, I'm jumping onto Foxtel On Demand, right? Because, you know, Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah, huge.
Well, following on from that, Kurt Sutter, who made Sons of Anarchy, he's got a new show called Mayans MC, and it's coming to Foxtel tonight.
Sounds pretty cool, Mayans MC being Motorcycle Club.
Yeah, it's set after the events of Sons of Anarchy, so the spin-off follows the story of Easy as he works his way up in the Mayans Motorcycle Club. So it's expressed from the US, it's exclusive to Foxtel, it's actually premiering tonight on Showcase.
Oh,
but I'm going to stream it on demand after the show, which I'm very excited about. But you know what else is very exciting, Ollie?
What?
Time.
Oh, is it?
Time itself is very exciting. It's a strange beast, time. I'm going to have questions for Christy Miller from the Center for Time after this.
We're going full deep in time.
We're going full deep in time. Mate, I want to know, is time travel possible? Is Interstellar the film? Is it even like any type of real thing that could happen? Stick around. Time up next. Tom and Ollie, Triple M. It's Don't Lose It, The Living End, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. I have questions about Ollie's tattoo that's not real. I can't believe you said
Bloody Legend.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Hey, it's time to open your mind and speak time. This is the theme from Interstellar, and I bloody love it. Oh, because right now, we have Christy Miller in studio, who is from the Center for Time. Good evening, Christy.
Good evening.
Are you a big fan of Matthew McConaughey?
Well, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Big first question to start with, obviously, is that.
Christy, the reason I've got you in here is because I found an article on ABC that basically said that time travel is possible and that the world is made up of different blocks of time and that time... Look, I'm butchering it probably. But what is this article about block theory about?
Well, in essence, it's the view that our universe is four-dimensional, three spatial dimensions, one temporal dimension. So you can imagine it as extended as one giant block and all the locations in the block are equally real. And so you can travel around in the block.
Oh, whoa.
Does that make sense,
Ollie? That's very interstellar, like the film. So the four dimensions, can you say that again? Spatial and temporal.
Yep.
4D, or 3D is a block, isn't it?
3D is a 3D block.
Yeah.
So a cube. Cube is three-dimensional. So now imagine the cube through time, and now you'd be imagining a four-dimensional. Well, it wouldn't be a cube anymore, but it would be like a cuboid, I guess. A four-dimensional rectangle.
Whoa.
So that's what our world would...
But
that's what our world would look like if you were God, if there were a God, and he/C was looking down on it from outside of space-time.
I've made a cool cube shape like we did in high school with the flat square, then the third dimension. I can't picture the fourth dimension. Where is it going?
Well, you can only represent three dimensions on that piece of paper.
Mm.
So what you have to do is imagine that the length dimension is time.
Right.
And the other two dimensions that you've represented are two spatial dimensions.
So am I right in saying you kind of get a cube and then stretch it out, and the stretching is time?
That's right. Perfect.
Okay. Cool. And then with that stretching of time, every moment, every cross section is every moment in time from when life began and when life ends.
That's right.
Yes.
The music's building.
So with this theory in mind, I love this part. Like, how do we travel through this thing? Like, what's the deal here? Can you travel through time with this theory?
So in theory, you certainly can. Of course, in practice, matters are much more difficult. And I'm a philosopher, so we leave the practical stuff up to, you know, physicists and mathematicians.
Yes,
so I'm not out there trying to build a time machine, because that'd be hard to get funding for.
Yes.
But yeah, for sure, there's no reason why you can't travel through the block.
Philosophically, yeah, for sure, is kind of what you've presented there. Are you able just to pontificate on this stuff without really going into the physicalities of it?
Well, so we know that, at least in theory, even the physics tells you that you can travel through the block. So one way to do that is just to make a wormhole. So basically just get a piece of space. So imagine that the universe was a piece. You've got all these pieces of paper in front of you.
Yeah, totally.
Pick one of those up and now fold it over itself. So that's it. Perfect.
Okay.
Now it's really easy to travel from one end of the paper to the other end.
I will do what McConaughey does in the film and pokes a pen through the middle.
Yep, that's it.
Perfect. Just destroyed your bio, sorry.
So, and in that moment, what he's done there is he's jumped to a different part of time?
Yes, he's jumped to a different part of the block, and that's jumping to a different part of time. So he's basically tunnelled through the block.
How did McConaughey know to punch through that wall?
Okay, that's a different question. I don't know how he knew how to do that.
Minds are blowing all over the place. We're talking to Christy Miller, Associate Professor, who is involved in the Centre for Time. Here's where I want your involvement. 133353. Do you have any questions about time for Christy? We'd love to open it up to you. Maybe it's about time travel. Maybe it's about how time works. Get involved. 133353. I want to know more about the Centre for Time up next, if that's okay, Christy.
Sure.
Because it's an interesting center. 133353, do you have any questions about time? This is Whitesnake. Here I go again. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Here I go again. Whitesnake, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Very soon, we need to get Ollie's girlfriend on to talk about an argument that they had.
Yes, Tom, it's a stitch-up as well. I have a stitch-up planned, which I'm pretty excited about.
Okay, well, right now, open your brains, open your minds, because we're talking time with Associate Professor Christy Miller from the Centre for Time. Christy, what is the Centre for Time exactly?
Well, it's an interdisciplinary centre at the University of Sydney. We have people doing all sorts of different research. There are physicists who are trying to figure out what time is and how time emerges from more fundamental stuff. We have psychologists who are trying to figure out how our brains work to kind of track things in time and which ways you can mess around with the brain so that people see things in different orders to the order they actually come in. That's really cool.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Mm.
And
do you ever use hallucinogenic drugs for that kind of stuff?
They do. Yes, not me personally, because philosophers, they don't give us drugs. They figure we're already
loopy enough. Yeah.
But the psychologists definitely do.
Wow. Incredible stuff. Hey, we've just been talking about this theory called block theory, which is basically where time is a fourth dimension that can be stretched, and there's all the moments of time are stretched in like a big block, and that you could hypothetically travel between the...
What a shame. Let's just move on. We've got some questions for you, Christy, because we've opened up the phones to our listeners to ask you questions at 133353. Do you mind, Tom, or do you want to try and get that thing out again, try and spit it out?
Well, all I want to know is, can I change the past, Christy?
No. Do you want more than that?
No, that's fine. I do want to know, one last question, could we have met time travellers already according to the block theory?
Absolutely. So obviously, if we have met them, they've been pretty on the down low. They haven't arrived in a great spaceship and announce themselves.
Or a phone box.
Or a phone box.
I met a guy once who told me he was a time traveler.
Was he in Bondi or something?
Byron Bay.
Yeah.
He was very, very hairy, huge beard. But anyway, he's gone now.
Maybe he was.
Maybe he was. That's it. I don't know.
But we could have met them already, which is, I love this, because any time, you go, Christy, you know how to explain it better.
Yeah, we absolutely could have met them. After all, what is present to us is past to everyone who's later than us. So everyone who exists from now onwards is in our future, but we're in their past because past, present and future are all completely relative.
I mean,
so of course.
Is it not simpler just to assume that the whole time thing is just, time is just now? Isn't that easier?
Well, it comes with its own problems. I see that it's a nice, simple view. It doesn't gel so well with physics to think that there's just one moment, which is now.
So, but your theories propose a way of looking at time. But is there a more simplistic, you know, I had to go smart, but Occam's razor, which you'd be familiar with, which is the theory that the most obvious answer or theory is probably what's true. Is there not a more basic theory of time that's just like, yeah, well, it's moving, it was then and we're here now and we're moving forward? Is you know, can it be simple?
It can be simple, and some of my colleagues even defend that view. But it doesn't do so well with any of the stuff that we've learnt from Einstein and special and general relativity.
Right.
So what they tell us basically is that there is no one privileged way of carving the what we think of as the big block up into individual times. And that there's no absolute simultaneity. So there's no sense in which all of the moments that you and I might think of as being now are genuinely simultaneous and right. As opposed to at the same time as other moments.
This is the best. We're talking to Christy Miller from the Centre for Time. If you have a question for her, 133353, any questions on time, give us a call. Jake, you've got one.
Yes, I do. If you've seen the film The Langoliers by Stephen King, people go back in time on a plane, and when they get to the destination, they realise everything has moved on. So the airport and everything's there, but there's no people or animals or anything like that. I'm just curious to see the theory on, if you travel back in time, would you be able to see like the pyramids being built or something like that, or would nothing actually be there?
No, it would all be there. So yes, you can absolutely go back and see the pyramids being built.
Wow.
Cool. That's cool. That's really cool.
Good luck, Jake. I hope you achieve that dream of yours. Let's go to Michael. I'm on 3353. Michael, what's your question for Christy?
Hey, Christy. Basically, my question is, do you think, like, bit of a philosophical question, but do you think that it's possible that all of our consciousness, like all humans that exist, basically in the future could be, like, God or the universe guiding us through life, like ourselves in the future, if that makes sense, like very similar to how Interstellar is in the movie. Sorry, that was a little
question. It's good, Michael.
Oh, anything's possible. I mean, given that what is our future is their past, it's always possible that some people from the future know what did happen back in and have come back here in some way to try and help us along into the future in various ways. That's certainly possible.
Well, 133353, if you've got any questions about time for Christy Miller from the Centre for Time, give us a call.
Is that getting at a bit of hive mind theory there, Christy, from Michael, do you think? Can you explain that theory? Do you know it?
No, tell me more.
Well, it's just an idea, I think, about how all humans draw from one.
All right, tell us about it up next, Dolly.
Oh, come on.
This is the new one from Panic at the Disco, 133353. If you've got any questions about time for Christy, it's called High Hopes here. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. Brand new music from Panic at the Disco. It's called High Hopes. You're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Let us know what you think. Head to triplem.com.au and become a club member to have a say about the music that we play. Not far away, we will jump in the pondering pond tonight for Deep Thought of the Week, but we're already having deep enough thoughts here with Christy Miller, Associate Professor, who is from the Centre for Time. Thank you very much for sticking around, Christy. We have so many questions coming through.
Pleasure.
On 133353 about time.
If you're wondering if the Centre for Time is a real place where thousands of people work, I asked this question of Christy off air. It's not. It's an offshoot of the University of Sydney, which makes a bit more sense. So you're sort of pooling different minds from philosophy and physics and all the sciences. Is that right, Christy?
Yeah, that's right.
We've got Natasha on 133353. Natasha, what's your question for Christy?
Hi, all. Christy, with, say, for instance, a supernova, you know how astrophysicists say that we see it explode or implode thousands of years after it's actually happened?
Yep.
Is that relative to the distance and the time that it takes for us to actually see it from the planet and in present current day time?
Yes. So basically you're seeing, effectively seeing what happened in the past because the light takes time to travel to get to you. So it's like, if you think that the light is like a messenger that tells you what happened, and like whenever someone sends a message, it takes time for you to, for the message to get from where they are to where you are. So whenever you get a message, in some sense, you're always getting a message about what did happen in the past because things have moved on since then. And when it's light and it's massive distances, it can be that what you're seeing in the sky actually happened many thousands of years ago because it happened thousands of light years ago.
Is this also why, when Ollie asks, why can't time just be now? Is that also why this is an issue? Because if I went really fast, I could actually see... If I turned a light on then went really, really fast, I could actually see the, myself turning the light on?
You could if it were possible to travel faster than light, which mostly we think it's not. Physicists think it's not. But yes, in theory, if you travelled faster than light and you got in front of the light, then you would see the light coming from where you were and so you would see yourself.
Daniel on 133353, what's your question?
My question is centred around... So if time itself... is conceptualised by men, so it actually doesn't exist unless we put, for example, a clock to it. Is there any, what's the earliest record of human time actually acknowledging time to be a thing? Because it would have been a time before time was acknowledged, and then a time thereafter where we actually conceived that time is a thing.
Oh, that's amazing.
Jesus, A, B and B, C and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know enough about the sort of anthropological data to know when the first people were who, in some sense, conceptualized time. I mean, presumably going way back, people in some minimal sense conceptualized time, right? Because they had to think to themselves, well, I have to get up and I have to go and pick some berries and I have to go and kill some roux for dinner. And so in some sense, they must have had a sense of events happening in an order. And of them being able to manipulate some events to create further downstream consequences. Like, that's the whole point of hunting, is that first you kill the roux and then you eat the roux. Mm. But that's very different to having the kind of conceptualization of time we have now that we get through physics, where we can think of it as a dimension. And I don't know when that sort of first comes in. So it's a great question.
133353, if you do have any questions for Associate Professor Christy Miller from the Centre for Time, let's go to Craig. What's your question, Craig?
Well, there's two quick ones. First one is, it's widely expected that there's an event horizon for humankind or every intelligent species in the universe. That is, there's not enough resources nor intelligence on a planet to beat the event horizon for us to launch ourselves out into space will be beat time. How are we going to fix that?
Well, we might need to vote out Donald Trump as a first pass move towards extending civilization sometime. We might want to fix some climate change because that's also a big problem here. But no, I take the point. So that's one impediment to getting any kind of time travel happening, is that you need massive technology. And so you need your civilizations to last long enough to get to that kind of technology. But if you're things like us that are violent and nasty and dropping nuclear weapons on one another all the time, there's a pretty good chance that you'll destroy civilization before you ever make your time machine.
We still have a few...
Craig had two questions. Want to get your second one?
Sure. Oh, sorry, Craig.
Sure.
Yeah, sorry, it's just a really quick one. Most of us already time travel anyway. Every time we jump onto a 747 or fly around the world, we are changing time by 0.3 of a millisecond. We go around the world. I think they worked that out in England, didn't they? When they put two atomic clocks, one on the plane, one on the land.
Right, okay.
So,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so the question is, how are we going to change, well, time and mass is relative, how are we going to change around mass so we're light enough to actually go through time? I don't want to be a 0.2 of a gram.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. So one way of travelling forward in time is to travel really fast. And, of course, our jets travel not fast enough to do very much, as you say. It's a very, very small amount that you travel into the future. But if you could travel faster, then you'd be making more inroads. Or if you could get pretty close to a black hole, you'd start to time would dilate for you and you'd be effectively travelling to the future if you could then get out of the black hole again, out of the, you know, the edge of the black hole. But yes, there is the worry that the faster you travel, that you have kind of a mass problem. I don't know how to fix that problem for you, man. I'm sorry.
133353. If you've got questions about time, we have time for a few more.
Good, Tom.
Time is a commodity on this show. 133353. This is Shivers Screaming Jets. We have questions. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Screaming Jets, Shivers, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions and we're opening up your minds now to time as we have Associate Professor Christy Miller, who is from the Center for Time, also teaches philosophy, does a whole class on time travel, don't you, Christy?
I do indeed.
Which I would love to be a part of, but yeah. I'm not a fourth year philosophy student, so I won't get involved in that. We've got so many questions coming through on 133353, and thank you for getting involved. I'm sorry we can't get to them all. Let's go to Andrew first. Andrew, what's your question for Christy?
Hi, Christy. My question is, if time travel's real, why didn't anybody turn up to Stephen Hawking's time travel party?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Is that a thing?
What's the time travel party?
Well, Stephen Hawking kind of put a call out into the universe to say, if there are any time travellers, come to my party. And the idea was that if there were any time travellers, they'd turn up and that would be evidence that they existed. And if nobody came, yeah. we'd be like, well, obviously there aren't any, because if there were any, surely they'd come to my party.
That's brilliant.
But it was alcohol-free. No one came. It was poorly marketed.
Yeah, that was essentially the problem. Yeah. So basically the question is, if there were time travellers, why aren't we seeing them around the place?
Yeah.
So, you know, why weren't they at his party and why aren't they just around in general?
Yeah, Christy.
Why aren't they? So it's a great question. So I guess I definitely think that there is some evidence that there aren't time travellers around in the universe at the moment. But it's only some evidence, right? So think about how big the universe is and think about all the places you might want to go if you had a time machine. And so it's not just our planet, right? You could go anywhere in the entire block of universe. The past of any bit of the universe, and think of the total number of holiday destinations effectively that would be open to you. And now ask yourself, would you go to Stephen Hawking's party? Given that you could go to any planet, anywhere, you know, at any point in time. And I'm thinking, although we all know and love Stephen Hawking, we may forego that that party in favour of something else.
Can I go personal for a second? Where would you go? Having thought about this stuff for a long time, Christy, where would you go in the world of time?
I'd be pretty torn between... I think I'd be interested to stay on our planet, but I'd be torn between going future and going past.
Yeah.
So it would be cool to go and visit some dinosaurs and to see some, you know, evolutionary history, but it would also be cool to see what happens in the future. So there's all these kind of unanswered questions in physics and in maths and in philosophy, and it would be cool to go, you know, 300 years, 400 years down the track and see where, you know, where are things at?
Yeah.
We've got Christy Miller from the Centre for Time on the in the studio. We've got Brendan on 133353. Brendan, you're 12 years old and you've got a big question for Christy.
Yes, I do.
Go for it.
Okay. So would it be possible for a time traveller to travel back in time when the time travel machine was non-existent, as well as the time traveller him or herself?
It's a great question. So it depends a bit on how you think time travel works. So one way you might think it would work is by having sort of gateways at both ends, effectively. So that might work by having a kind of wormhole connection. And if you think you have to have both gateways sort of set up and ready to go, then you can obviously only travel to somewhere where there's already a gateway there. So if in the past nobody set up a gateway, then you can't travel to that time, right? So that's your worry, right? But there might be other ways of travelling time that don't require that somebody at the other end, that is at the past, has already set up some mechanism by which you can emerge into the past. So in that case, you can travel to any destination regardless of whether there's already sort of an exit at the other end.
Wow.
Like a portkey in Harry Potter.
Right.
But the first one's kind of like from Austin Powers, the spy shagged me.
Right. Do you think there's a link between people who love this time travel stuff and people who love sci-fi and Harry Potter and these kinds of worlds?
Yeah, I'm sure there's something they have in common, but I'm not sure where it is, because it's a very diverse bunch of people who are kind of interested in these questions.
Thank you so much for your calls on 133353. This is our last one. Michael, you've got a question for Christy.
Yeah. Hey, Christy, how are you?
Hey, I'm well, thanks. How are you?
That's good. Yeah, I've just got a quick question. I was just wondering if there was a point in time that you'd want to go out with me.
Oh, no.
That is amazing.
Well, the problem with time is that we only have access to the current bits of ourselves. So we don't know about, you know, I don't know what past self thought and I don't know what future self thought. So I don't want to speak for past and future self here, man.
Yeah, that's fair. No, that's a good point.
Yeah, but what does current Christy think? That's the main question.
Current Christy's taken.
Oh, good try, Michael.
Thank you for getting involved, Michael. Christy, we would love you to come back next week if you have the time. Because we have so many questions coming through that we just want to get to. So if you could come back next week, we would absolutely love that. Christy Miller from the Centre for Time, thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure.
And thank you very much to Interstellar for the soundtrack from behind this.
And until next time, see you later.
Okay. Nice stuff. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, we'll open our minds again soon for Deep Thought of the Week, but thank you so much to Christy Miller, Associate Professor from the Centre for Time, answering your questions on time. And look, if you had some and we didn't get to you, you can message us on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter at Tom and Ollie with a Y, and we'll get to them next week when she comes back. It was absolutely amazing.
Let's just breathe out for a second because my brain's a bit tired from that.
Jesus
Christ. And get back to some core Tom and Ollie gear. And I'm talking about a classic stitch-up because I've had an argument with my girlfriend over the weekend. Yep. Sarah and I, there was a minor tiff. We had a great weekend.
Okay.
But I would like to settle the argument, not fairly and squarely with a jury or any kind of help.
Yeah.
I would like to settle it with a bit of, not espionage, but behind the scenes working. So
don't tell me you're going to get Pepper to call on 133353 to campaign for your side of the argument, Ollie.
I absolutely am. So call right now, 133353. I'll explain the argument. We'll explain it to Sarah up next on the phone. She'll get worked up. We'll then go to you guys to help clarify the argument, and you will back me up, and she'll get annoyed. It'll be great.
133353. Get involved in the classic stitch up. This is a call. Foo Fighters, Triple M, Tom and Ollie. Off his upcoming album, Nature, that's going to drop next month. It's Paul Kelly with new music. It's called With the One I Love. Head to triplem.com.au and become a club member to have a say about the music that we play and to craft your Triple M. It's Tom and Ollie, and we have questions.
Tom, I'm using the radio to settle a dispute between my girlfriend and I. Her name's Sarah. And look, nothing dodgy here. It's all fair play. I just thought we'll get a fair jury on 133353. If you want to be part of the jury to adjudicate who's in the right, who's in the wrong here, then do get involved on the phone. But I'll detail the argument with my girlfriend, Sarah, who's joined us now. Evening, Sarah.
I didn't know this is what the call was about.
No, you didn't know. I didn't want you to prepare an argument or to get some fancy lawyer involved because, you know, you're a corporate. That's what you do. So I'll explain as best I can in very simple terms, Sarah, because
okay,
we haven't got time to go into the ins and outs.
Let's call court into order.
Sarah, we went away for the weekend and I did pack a lot of the food and drink. And we've got a soda stream machine which makes soda water.
Oh, love a soda stream.
Because that's just the kind of folks we are. And we've got two of those bottles, right? And I packed
them. As in two soda stream bottles.
Two soda stream bottles. Okay, they were full of soda water. We got to the weekend away house. I put them in the fridge at some point. And then when we were leaving, I personally didn't get them out of the fridge. So they're still in the fridge. Now, I put it to you, Sarah, that yes, I didn't get them out of the fridge, but neither did you. Isn't that right, Sarah?
That's what you said to me. And my retort immediately was, you're in charge of the food and beverage side of the weekend.
Yep.
So you unpacked the food and the drink.
Yep.
And at pack-up time, you literally sent me from the kitchen and the living room.
You were having a shower for an hour. You were having an hour-long shower.
No, you sent me to the bedroom, so that was my domain to clean up. And so I expected
you
to do as thorough a job for your distribution as your collection.
Hey, Sarah, I am so on your side here, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you.
Well, that doesn't matter what Tom thinks. What
definitely,
matters...
It's definitely what...
It's the Triple M jury that's what matters.
Okay.
And so on 133353, if you have got a say, then I want to hear it. Let's hear from Chris. Chris, you heard the case. What do you think?
Well, you said you didn't want to involve a lawyer, but I am a lawyer.
Well, Chris.
Yay, Chris.
Yeah.
And I think... I cannot imagine a planet or a court in which any account would be taken of Sarah's side of this story.
Oh!
I mean, if Tom has taken the food and beverage in, then surely an equitable distribution of obligations between the two parties would involve Sarah packing them and taking them home.
Yeah, well, there you go. It was actually Ollie, but yeah, Chris, that's a fair comment. Sarah, you've heard the first juror.
No, but also can I say, Chris, though, when he actually like excuses me from the whole living and kitchen space, he sent me into the bedroom to do that. That was my delegated authority, was to go and do that. He was responsible there for
it. Objection. That's enough speaking from you, Sarah.
Oh, gosh.
No, that is absolutely no ground.
Yeah. Inadmissible. Thank you, Chris, for juror number one. Let's go to juror number two. Josh, what do you think? You've heard the facts.
I think any good couple, it should be a team, the team effort. So I think you should have looked out, you know? Come on.
Sarah?
How am I meant to be responsible of his every move? Can I not trust that he has the capacity to do the task to completion?
Well, okay. We've got two...
You're getting worked up. I mean, it's just a domestic issue, and these guys have heard the facts, and they're giving their thoughts and their deliberation.
We've had two jurors there. Let's just go to the third. Nathan, what do you think?
Mate, I think it's an absolute no-brainer. I reckon, Ollie, you're in the clear, mate.
Yep. Sarah, it's a whitewash.
Yeah, but I hate to point out the fact that as that's gender non-neutral, you've got three male judges all going with you.
Well, Sarah, it's an indictment upon the girls that no girls called up, so we have a juror that we have at our disposal. That's what we have here, and they've decided against you pretty emphatically.
Yeah, look, there are always flaws in the judicial system.
Back to your corporate drinks then, I guess?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, she's a bit giggly, a bit drunk. That's why she's okay with it.
Nice stuff.
Oh, doesn't matter. I've had a few drinks.
Thank you, Sarah. Up next, let's talk this whole Colin Kaepernick thing.
By the way, that was a stitch up.
To do with Nike.
That was a stitch up.
You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. It's Aerosmith with Love in an Elevator. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have Deep Thought of the Week not far away, where we'll open our minds and get those deep thoughts out of here.
Tom, there's been a saga playing out over in America in the American Football League, the NFL, that I have kept on seeing in the news and been not so much engaged by it, but intrigued, and I haven't been able to get my head across it. It's now bubbled over with controversy around Nike getting involved with the players from the San Francisco 49ers, who were the original guys who didn't stand or who kneeled during the anthem on that fateful season 2 years ago now. It's a complicated story, so I thought I would get the guy who is in the know. He's the host of the In the Pocket podcast, NFL podcast. He's also a Triple M alumni as well. Good evening, Jay.
Good evening. How are you?
Very good, Jay Mueller. Now, you're the man to speak to because you're our American, for one. Where are you from?
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. St. Charles, actually.
St. Charles. And look, this story to me is fascinating because of, well, two reasons. One, the recent Nike furor, which we can hear some audio of, because what's happened is after Nike signed this guy, Colin Kaepernick, a player, people are hating the fact that this guy who didn't kneel or didn't stand for the anthem has been signed by Nike.
It's a pair of Nike shoes. So everybody to see. Throwing this in the fire because of Colin Kaepernick is now the face of Nike. I just bought 3 days ago. Five pairs of shoes in there, all gonna let them burn. Because Nike decided to make Colin Kaepernick their ambassador.
So that's the story now. But Jay Mueller, can you take us back to where this story started? How these players went from being stars in their own right, the protest that happened, which was about police brutality, and what led to the current story of Nike supporting Colin Kaepernick?
In 2016, Colin Kaepernick decided to kneel during the national anthem. So before every NFL game in the United States, the national anthem is played. And it's a moment. All the teams are together. The crowd stands. Everybody stands. So for him to kneel and to not acknowledge that or to participate in that was noticed. And people are wondering, well, why isn't Colin Kaepernick standing for the national anthem? He was then quite articulate. He said, this is why I'm not standing. It is my form of protest. I'm unhappy with the racial inequality in this country, with specifically with the way African-American men are being treated by police departments across America. He wanted to raise awareness on this issue, and he wanted to make a point that what was happening in America was unacceptable.
And it didn't play out well. I mean, it wasn't just him. It was also Eric Reid and a few other players. What happened to those guys afterwards?
So Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid, neither of them are on an NFL team at the moment. Colin Kaepernick didn't play last year. And let me put Kaepernick into perspective for you. Every team, there are 32 teams. Every team has a quarterback, a starting quarterback. So Tom Brady, you know, is probably the best known one, right?
And Jay, they're the ones that everyone wants to be in high school. So they're the most loved, right?
Exactly. And these are the guys. Then there's always a backup quarterback, right? And usually there's a third string or a practice squad quarterback as well. So all told, you probably have sort of 96 guys capable of playing that position at that level And if you're telling me that Colin Kaepernick isn't one of the best 96 in America right now, it's crazy that he's not on an NFL team.
Right. Is there an AFL equivalent? Is it like a Tom Hawkins from Geelong, or is there a Billy Slater in the NRL that it's like crazy for them to not get a game?
Yeah, well, it would be the equivalent of, like Lance Franklin.
Right.
Lance makes a stand. And, you know, at the time, Colin Kaepernick in 2012 was at his peak. He was the peak of his powers. And the San Francisco 49ers were on the slide. And there were a lot of people who said, you know, Kaepernick was on the slide as well, that physically he wasn't as dominant as he was in 2012 when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl. But he was a star. He was a starting quarterback. He was one of the 32 best players.
Right.
So it would be pick an all-Australian footballer.
So is the charge that the NFL teams had colluded to not hire him?
Well, that's going to play through the courts, right? So Colin Kaepernick has filed this case,
Whoa.
And he got a bit of a win. And what he said is that the league and the owners have conspired and colluded against him to keep him off a team. The reason being, there was a lot of speculation last year. The NFL had a rough year. In 2016, when the kneeling was going on and was at its peak, Donald Trump was a candidate at the time. And he made the statement that, you know, if he was an owner, he would fire any player that didn't stand and honor the flag, right? And that just inflamed it.
That's
that just
huge.
Took it to a whole new level.
We're talking to Jay Mueller, who's host of the NFL podcast In the Pocket. So, Jay, where are we at now with Nike now being a sponsor for Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, so it's interesting here because there are multiple viewpoints. Nike has actually sponsored Kaepernick for about 7 years, since 2011 when he entered the league. But last year, they didn't do anything with Kaepernick. He was still on the books. He was still an option, but they didn't do anything with him. They've now put it out this year, and it's very provocative, and it is quite the statement. And Nike's got a history of doing these sorts of things, right? Mm-hmm. Nike has never been afraid to be edgy, to take these sorts of stands, and to do this type of thing. The stock market reacted savagely.
Yeah.
They lost 3%. 4%. I think it rebounded a little bit, but I mean, that was like $4 billion when the New York Stock Exchange opened in America after the Labor Day weekend. It's recovered a little bit, and Nike's not going to be too concerned with that because this is how they operate.
Yeah,
it's amazing stuff, Jay. Can I ask, as an American, maybe our last question here, what does it point to just deep divisions in America? I mean, what is it like? What are the people on the streets thinking about this stuff?
I tell you, being so far away, I feel like I'm watching the end of a really terrible reality TV show.
Yeah.
It's not even a reality TV show that you want to talk about or you want to discuss, or even if it's one that you weren't watching but you were aware of and you go, yeah, I can get the appeal of it. This is one of those reality TV shows that you just go, how did that ever get made? Why is that even on the air? And why is anybody talking about it? And it is sad. It is really sad. And then when I hear audio of guys burning their shoes and doing that sort of thing, I think, come on. It's so stupid. You know, the same rights that protect Colin Kaepernick from protesting in the way that he protested protect those idiots from burning their shoes.
Yeah, well, if you want to hear more, make sure you tune into the In the Pocket podcast. Grab it wherever you get your podcast. Thank you very much, Jay Mueller.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Ollie.
Cheers, Jay.
Tom and Ollie. On Triple M. Just like a 5-year-old, these two keep asking questions. And just like a 5-year-old, our Play-Doh bill is through the roof. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh man, it's been such a bloody busy time of the week, you know? It's time to just settle down and just open our minds and get in the pondering pond.
Deep thought of the week.
Oh, so good. Ease into that pond, Ollie. Naked.
It's nice. It's really nice just to relax the muscles. I've been gymming a lot, as you know, doing a Brad Pitt workout.
Yeah, I heard.
And good to get the tattoo out as well that says Bloody Legend. I'm giving blood.
Open those phones, producer Tom, as we ask on 133353. Do you have a
deep thought of the week?
I've also opened the Facebook lines.
Good job, Ollie.
At Tom and Ollie.
Yeah.
And Michael has got in real early. He said, is it called timber because that's what lumberjacks yell when trees fall, or do lumberjacks yell timber because that's what it's called?
It's chicken or egg.
Deep thought of the week.
Cooper, welcome to the Pondering Pond.
Thanks, buddy.
You're naked, Cooper?
Oh, sure am.
Good. That's what we like to hear. You have to be naked in the Pondering Pond. What is your deep thought of the week, Cooper?
So,
if you sit on a voodoo doll of yourself, will you be able to stand up?
Deep thought of the week.
I like it, Cooper. That's exactly how it's done. 133353. Join us in the pondering pond, naked, of course, and give us your deep thought of the week. Open up your minds. Turn this one up, though. I haven't heard this song in such a long time. I thought we'd play it tonight. Muse, Uprising, massive song from them. You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. It's Muse, Uprising, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Naughty After Nine isn't far away. And Andy Lee said something last night that's going to make us ask, what got you in the balls?
Ooh. But before that, Tom, let's not get too freaked out. We are naked in the pond. Mm. Balls are covered. We're being discreet.
Deep thought of the week.
Oh, it's so good to just open our brains, isn't it?
Open our brains, clothes are off. Mm. A couple of winks here and there, the cheeky winks.
Have you had Christy Miller on before from the Centre for Time? And man, she had a deep thought when she was talking about time theory. It was probably the best deep thought I've ever heard.
What is present to us is past to everyone who's later than us. So everyone who exists from now onwards is in our future, but we're in their past because past, present and future are all completely relative.
Deep thought of the week.
I reckon half of what made that chat so profound was the bloody Hans Zimmer soundtrack to Interstellar playing in the background. God, that guy can make a soundtrack.
I mean, how good is it?
Just there's so much tension.
You know what? Let's use this for the pondering pond this week.
Yeah, nice.
G'day, Tyler.
How you going, guys?
Whoa, Tyler, chill, man. You're in the pondering pond.
Sorry.
Take it real easy, mate.
My deep thought of the week is that you are the oldest you'll ever be and the youngest you'll ever be again.
It's not true.
Deep thought of the week.
I'm not the oldest I'll ever be now. I'm getting older every day.
Yeah. But you'll also be the youngest that you'll ever be again.
It's only half true.
Yeah, he's not going to be the oldest he's ever been because he's going to be older tomorrow.
Exactly.
Deep thought of the week.
Yeah, have a think first and then come back to us. But I agree, we are the youngest we'll ever be right now.
G'day, Andrew.
How you going, guys?
Are you naked, Andrew?
I am indeed.
Oh, good boy. Welcome to the Pondering Pond. What's your deep thought of the week?
Why do doctors practice medicine on real patients?
Oh. Deep thought of the week.
You like that one, Ollie? It's an English language one.
It is an English language one. It's a different practice, Andrew. There's an S in that one, not a C.
Really?
Yes.
Is there?
Yes, there's two kinds of practice.
I've been to school tonight. Thank you.
No worries, Andrew. So
What? Really? That's practice with an S?
Yeah, yep. Well, it's confusing which one's which, but there's two different types of practice.
You know, if you type into Google, define, and then a colon, and then a word, so I'm going to put practice, practice, it will come up with a definition, and it says, practice, perform or exercise repeatedly or regularly in order to acquire, improve, or maintain proficiency.
With a C or an S?
That's an S.
Deep thought of the week.
G'day, Nick.
How are we, gentlemen?
Welcome to the Pondering Pond, buddy. I hope you've got your tugs off. What is your deep thought?
Naked as the day I was born. Oh, but
that's how I like to hear it.
Bravo.
I pose three questions.
Three?
How is the word tomb spelt?
Tomb.
T-O-M-B.
How is the word womb spelt?
Ollie is checking out now, but W-O-M-B.
How is the word bomb spelled?
Yeah, B-O-M-B. Yeah.
Deep thought of the week.
Guys, the English language has a number of inconsistencies, and that's no surprise to anyone. It's a language developed over thousands of years. We can pick out 1,000 different reasons.
Whoa, Ollie.
Sorry, I get worked up on the English language ones.
Sorry, Nick.
That's okay. I think he needs to spend a little more time in the pondering pond.
I agree.
Is sense pronounced S-E-N-S-E or is the C silent or the S silent? It doesn't matter.
It's all English. 133353. We've got time for a few more. Join us in the pondering pond tonight and turn up Levi Kravitz.
Levi?
Let's fly away. Lenny Kravitz. Jeez, that's annoying. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Oh. is going to impose a fee. It's Levi Kravitz with Flyaway. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Man, we have questions. And get involved on the socials at Tom and Ollie across Instagram, Facebook and Twitter as we jump in the pondering pond for this week's
Deep Thought of the Week.
Sorry, Tom, a levy is not a fee. A fee is a one-off payment. A levy is a continued tax, really.
Okay, enough with your English, mate, because you said that before that there's two types of practice.
Yeah, two spellings. Yep.
We didn't have Tyler. We had someone call up and say, hey, look, a doctor's practice. Why are they practicing medicine?
On patients. It shouldn't be practicing.
And what did you say?
I said practice. There's two kinds, with an S and a C, and it's true. British English,
yeah.
American English is all stupid. British English, there is two kinds. The practice with an S is a verb, and the practice with a C is a noun.
Cool.
Take that.
Cool. Hey, Steve.
Oh, how's it going, fellas?
Welcome to the Pondering Pond.
Thank you.
What's your deep thought?
One for the fruit shop owners. If I could cross a orange and an apple,
yeah,
can I sell it for twice as much? And if so, do I base that on the price of an apple or an orange?
Why would you be able to sell for twice as much? It's still one bit of fruit.
Because it's crossed.
What do you mean it's crossed? What are you talking about?
Like a breeding, crossbreeding.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't double your price, though, just because it's still only half an apple, half an orange.
Well, I have to see what the fruit shop owners think.
Deep Thought of the Week.
Don't really get it.
If you're a fruit shop owner and you have opinions on crossbreeding and pricing of crossbred fruit, give us a call.
Can you actually crossbreed an apple and an orange?
Well, you can get a lager, so surely you can get an apple and an orange.
No, you can't get a lager.
Yes, you can. No. Lagers exist.
What, they're not just from Napoleon Dynamite?
Mate, there are tigers out there bonking lions and they're crossbred to be lagers.
Deep Thought of the Week.
G'day, Brett.
G'day, mate. I don't know if I can compete with this. Past, future, present, bloody English, I was no good at. But,
the bar's pretty high.
About footy.
Okay.
Yeah, footy deep thought, go for it.
All right, in the grand final,
yeah.
Broncos Cowboys.
Yeah.
Broncos stopped that last minute try.
Yeah.
Is JT still considered for an immortal?
Deep Thought of the Week.
It's big. That's a big deep thought.
I'm going to leave that for the atmosphere and the ether to decide.
G'day, Naomi.
G'day.
What's your deep thought?
When butterflies are in love, do they feel humans in their stomach?
Oh.
Deep Thought of the Week.
Nice.
They'd be tiny humans.
Not actually, though.
How do you know?
Good question. G'day, Liana.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, mate. What's your deep thought?
You ready for this one?
Oh, I was born ready.
So your accent is your mouth's font.
Huh. Someone's been on Reddit.
Deep Thought of the Week.
Oh. One Reddit user knows another Reddit user, do they, Tom?
Someone's been on the shower thoughts thread on Reddit. Well done, Liana.
How dare you shame Liana when every week you come to this segment and you read Reddit deep thoughts. Disgusting.
Let Hans Zimmer take us there. Tea.
I go on Spotify sometimes, Tom, and play Hans Zimmer's top songs. And try and guess which film they're from. Fun game.
Good game. We might play that tomorrow night. Yeah. G'day, T.
Hey, how's it going?
Hopefully you're naked in the pondering pond, mate. What's the final deep thought for the night?
Things on ships are called cargoes.
Yeah.
And things on cars are called shipments.
What the?
Don't be like Rove.
Deep Thought of the Week.
All right, that's it for the pondering pond. Oh, man. What a great pondering pond. Hey.
That was a good one. We often have some real poxy ones, don't we? But that one was pretty smart.
Let's go to a song.
Here
with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I Went Back Down. Triple M, Tom and Ollie. Here with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. I Won't Back Down. We have questions.
Tom, I've been doing the Brad Pitt workout recently.
Oh, God.
And it's going well. It's pretty intense, eating a lot of food. One of the things of the Brad Pitt workout, though, this is the Brad Pitt workout in Fight Club, by the way. If you want to know what it is, you can Google it and join me doing it.
Is there no one else? Is there no one else?
That's why I asked myself about a co-host.
That's
time.
Troy, though. That's a different film.
Yeah, well, it's still Brad Pitt.
Anyway, part of the workout...
You're not Brad Pitt, mate.
Okay, well, I'm getting there. The point is, there's a rest day, right? And so today, for our rest day,
there's not a rest day. You just said that.
There is. There's a cardio day. I have to do cardio.
Did you do cardio today?
Yeah, I went mountain biking. If you let me finish what I'm saying.
Bro.
Went mountain biking, and me and my mate Miles have both got pretty recently Garmin watches, which track our speeds, right?
Mm.
And it was like an hour and a...
The Apple Watch does that as well, by the way. If you do a bike workout, it tracks your speed.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Cool. Garmin's are designed for sport. Apple Watch is designed for Malcolm Turnbull. So
that's not true.
Cool. Anyway, we were comparing
The most amount of sports workout data ever recorded was at Apple headquarters in the sports labs.
And yet never used because no one would have an Apple Watch. What kind of sportsman's going, how can I track my data? Oh, Apple Watch is the way to go.
A lot of people have chosen it.
I doubt it.
And they're probably going to release a new one in a week.
Anyway, we're going through our stats and we were checking out our max speed, and I was pretty chuffed because Miles's max speed on the mountain bike was 37 Ks.
It's pretty fast.
Pretty fast. My max speed was 40.1, which I was pretty chuffed about. And I was going, wow, that's fast. But then I thought about it.
Yeah.
That's how fast you go through a school zone. Very slow. It's actually not fast at all. Think about it. When you go through a school zone, you're like, God, this is slow. But I was racing on the bike.
That is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you'd be able to pedal faster than going through a school zone, surely.
I was going downhill as well. Is the Garmin watch just again wrong?
Well, it's got your swim data wrong, mate.
Yeah,
I reckon you need to buy my old Apple Watch off me when the new one gets released in about a week. Hey,
rainbow band on it. I don't want that.
It doesn't have a rainbow band. Well, sometimes it does. You can interchange the bands. Can you do that on your shitty Garmin? After 9 o'clock, Andy Lee said something that makes us ask, what got you in the balls?
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.